Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to hear how the Minneapolis VA is connecting with college students, meet one of the newest Yellow Ribbon companies, and share some news about our show for 2020. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
On December 13, 1636, Massachusetts colonists who were farmers, butchers, artists, and builders banded together, forming a militia that defended their communities from attack. From those humble beginnings came today's National Guard, which proudly serves across our 54 states and territories. The iconic image of a colonial militia member setting aside their farmer's plow and picking up their musket still represents us well today. We may now also be software engineers, aviation mechanics, and other professionals our predecessors could not have imagined at the time. But our citizen airmen and soldiers continue to live, ready to respond to the call of our state and nation. To those who have and those who continue to serve as members of our National Guard, thank you. Ours can be a challenging path to follow, but your service and the support of your families, employers, and communities ensure that we are a force that is truly always ready, always there.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said earlier, we're going to learn about a college outreach program on behalf of the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, referred to as the Veteran Integration to Academic Leadership, or VITAL, program. And joining us today to talk about that is Brad Foss. Brad, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good morning.
Brad, I understand that you served in the military.
I did. I was U.S. Army Reserves. I was a medic, but the interesting part was I was in the 5501 Field Hospital, but I was attached to the Combat Stress Unit, which gave me a unique opportunity to kind of work out in the field to help manage battlefield anxiety.
And how did you get to the Minneapolis VA healthcare system?
Well, USA Jobs, the best way to find federal employment. But I did some social work out in the world and found the VA, and I found my home through that.
And when did you get to the VA?
11 years I've been there.
And did you... What was the first position that you started with there?
So I began in, we call it the post 9/11 program, but back then it was the OEF, OIF, or Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Iraqi Freedom program. And we had a very simple mission. When I was in the military and I came back from my mobilization, I stepped off the airplane and I didn't know how to use VA. I didn't know how to access my college benefits or anything else I was eligible for, and
just wanted to go home.
But the VA in its wisdom has created our program, and our mission is simple. We reach out to returning veterans or retired service members to make sure they know about all the benefits and resources available to them, not only within the VA, but academics, home loans, compensation, and pension for injuries they might have incurred while in service, and other local supports to make their reintegration go smooth and effective.
And how did you get involved in the Veteran Integration to Academic Leadership, or the VITAL program?
Yes. The program I work in, the post 9/11 program, we really are what I consider to be a three-legged stool. The first is outreach. The second is once we find the veteran, we help them manage their care so they understand how to use their VA medical care, whether that be primary care, specialty care, or mental health. And the third leg of the stool is designing systems that are unique to this veteran cohort, the recent returnees. So I realized about 9 years ago, there were roughly 4,000 student veterans in our local colleges and universities, and we did not have an active plan to communicate with these student veterans all the benefits available to them. So I did a pilot project starting in Wisconsin, and we hit three campuses, about 900 students, because we had just had a big return from deployment. And it took off, and it had a lot of positive benefits And we grew that then into the Twin Cities Metro, and we're currently serving about 32 campuses in the area, covering, I think we're reaching out to about 3,700 student veterans.
We're speaking with Brad Foss from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Brad, if I can remember back far enough to when I got back from Vietnam and went to college, two things I remember clearly. One, I was 4 or 5 years older than the students that just came out of high school. And number two, I wasn't thinking about the VA. I wasn't thinking about anything. I was just thinking about, let's get through school and let's find a job and let's get about our life. But I would guess that our young people that have returned from deployment or the service and are going to college, probably in a similar state of mind.
Indeed. I hear a lot of talk about the difference between an 18-year-old freshman coming on campus and a 21-year-old who has spent years in service, boots on the ground in a foreign country, and coming into a learning environment, and how sometimes difficult and challenging it can be. One, the amount of kind of discipline and self-startedness you get when you're in the military causes them to look at their fellow classmates as somewhat of being younger, not as motivated, not as driven. So we talk a lot about that. One of the advantages we have in our that's really come out of the last 7 years is most, if not all, colleges and universities have what they call veteran centers. And these are dedicated space on campus where student veterans can get together, communicate, commune with one another, and support one another as they move through academics. It's really a wonderful thing that our campuses are doing.
We did, Brad, have those back in the 70s, but then they kind of faded away as the war settled down. And it was a great place to go because you were with fellow veterans, and we all did feel like we were 10 or 15 years older than the 18-year-olds, even though we're only 4 or 5 years older. But now they've made a resurgence in the last 10 years or so because we've got a lot of young people coming back from deployments, and there's a lot of people on campus. And I'm guessing that if you can get their attention for a few minutes, now you can tell them what you need to tell them about everything available at the VA.
Another nice advantage is the campuses have what they call a veteran certifying official. It's like a veteran point of contact. And that individual has the ability to meet, know, and understand the needs of the individuals. But they've also given me an opportunity through email where I can send an email to a veteran certifying official, and they can send it out their entire student body. And so we can get the word out about their free VA healthcare and supports. It's really a nice system that's going on.
So you're finding that some of those young veterans are receptive to your program, reaching out to them at the colleges?
6 out of 10. We're doing it pretty good. I'd like to have it 10 out of 10, but the young student veterans are really taking advantage of their services, so it's nice.
I would guess Director Kelly would be pretty happy with you recruiting 6 out of 10 off those campuses and adding them to the roles of the people that are taking care of it, the Minneapolis VA healthcare system.
We got a high-quality healthcare system, and it's really nice to know when someone's connected, they're connected well, and that they're getting the care they need.
I can personally attest to that because I've gotten my care out there for the last 6 or 7 years, and it's first class. People are great. I haven't met a single person that I wouldn't recommend anyone to if they need health care and they're a veteran and they're eligible for VA health care at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center and the health care system.
Yeah, both myself and my father-in-law both use the VA as well.
Brad, we've got to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about the VA campus toolkit and some mental health services that are available that you're telling our young students about. We're speaking with Bradley Foss from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today with Brad Foss from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, and he runs a program referred to as the Veteran Integration to Academic Leadership, or VITAL program, for the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. And Brad, we were talking a little bit about recruiting these students and making sure that they understand that if they are eligible for business or benefits, how to get them, and you're having some success with that. But at the same time, are there programs to make sure that all the staff at the VA are aware of what is necessary, what's needed? How do you help these students?
On the VA side, we have some really nice partnerships. We have a program in mental health called vocational rehabilitation within the Minneapolis VA. And partnering with speech and pathology, this team will work individually with a student veteran who might be having difficulty learning, studying, test taking, and they'll fashion an individualized plan to assure that veteran's academic success. And this is all no cost to the student veteran, and it's a Cadillac service.
Are you finding that some of the students might be a little distracted by experiences they had while they're in the military or deployed?
I liken it to sometimes like a space shuttle coming into reentry. You know, they hit that outer atmosphere and it's a little shaky. And if a veteran comes off of deployment or out of military service, and entering a college situation is a little like coming into the atmosphere, and there's a little bit of shudder. And what we can do is, one, normalize the experience with the individual student veteran, talk about the supports and services needed, and then key them into the, you know, the mental health supports is really helpful to get them connected to that. And mental health looks, what we can do is this. They can go to the medical center for mental health, but we also have a new push where we can meet with the veteran over their laptop or personal cell phone and do therapy where they're at, which is very convenient for the student veteran because they don't have to travel anywhere. They can do it on their own time at their own place.
So if they're on the campus and they've got a study hour or two to burn, they can just open up the laptop and get connected and talk about the things that are bothering them.
Right.
That's got to be very useful. And the opportunity to do that in that kind of setting, what a great opportunity for those students as opposed to, I got to find time to do this.
And yeah, no travel time because they're right there anyway. They're right there with their laptop.
Brad, are there some on-campus clinical care coordination? What kind of care is available on some of these campuses?
Well, some of the neat partnerships that we've developed in the local campuses is they've invited us out to speak to their faculty and staff about what are the needs of student veterans. I think faculty would look at a student veteran not knowing exactly who they are, what they're about, and there might be some, mysticism around how do I deal with a student veteran. And we teach them they're just people. Here's how you can best interact, engage, and communicate with them in a way that's helpful to the student veteran and your process as an academic.
Brad, if I'm a teacher at one of those campuses and most of my students are right out of high school, 18, 19-year-olds, and I see some veterans in there that are going to be 4, 5, 6 years older, it's got to occur to me that, hey, they've had a different experience. Do I have to teach different to reach them, or can we treat them all the same or just be aware and watch for signs?
Good question. So in preparing for an upcoming conference at the University of St. Thomas, they're hosting a learning series. Interviewed some student veterans on Monday, and the overarching thought was this. One, I developed a sense of self-efficacy while I was in the military, and faculty and staff, what you can do for me that would best serve is make it clear what you want me to do, give me a path to be successful, and let me do that path. Also, don't coddle me. Give me the work. I want to plow through this. I want to learn. I'm ready to go.
So what's my job? What's the time frame? And when's the test going to be? And I'm going to go get it done.
Right.
Well, that seems like what I learned in the military when I was in.
A to B.
A to B. We're talking with Brad Foss from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Brad, can we touch on mental health services? We hear that a certain number of veterans have some issues or things they're distracted by, maybe some PTSD, some other things. What kind of mental health services can you provide?
Let's talk a little bit. Like PTSD comes up first, but more often than not, anxiety disorder, irritability.
Just not feeling quite right and don't know why.
Yeah, just a little uptight and anxious. And then, of course, that's going to interfere with your ability to move information into your short-term, long-term memory. So we do a lot of talking around this is normal, this anxiety, depression. How about this? When I'm in the military and I'm in a high state of oorah, if you will, I'm doing it right. I'm leading my team. I'm in large, in charge, and I come back into the civilian world, and I've lost a part of myself that was effective, and now I got to start over, in a sense. And that can lead to a loss of self. So we talk a lot about redefining yourself post-military, and we do it all in our lives over time, but for the military, sometimes it's a little bit more pronounced.
And when you're in the military, and particularly when you're deployed, you're part of a team.
Right.
And that's a big part of your identity. Now you come back home, you get out of the military, you're going to college. The college students are 4, 5, 6 years younger than you. All of a sudden, you're alone. That's got to be something that they want to talk about a little bit.
Indeed. And they feel isolated. So at the VA, once again, these are all free services through mental health. We make it easy. We make it comfortable. My other push is this. So when I'm on campus, the first thing I want to do is I want to get a veteran into primary care. I want them to meet with a doctor and get a full physical. Because once they meet with primary care, mental health is just down the hall. It's not that scary. It's not such a big deal. So if we can convince our student veterans to seek primary care, get that good feeling about how the VA is a real live healthcare system that really is interested in meeting their needs. And then mental health, once again, just down the hall, no big deal.
Brad, on this show over the last 9.5 years, we've talked a lot about depression, PTSD, suicide prevention. Some of those things are things that need to be talked about in the open. And if there's a problem, there's doctors, there's help available at the VA. They can help you work through that and get on with your life. It's a pretty big, important message, isn't it?
Indeed. The other nice advantage of my program is that I'm a care coordinator, so if I meet a student veteran, they get my business card. I work for them. So anything comes up, I tell them, call me first. I will make sure that your needs are met and you got that one person to call, and it works.
And they call you, and you know where the resources are that are available to help them in the best way possible.
Indeed.
So, Brad, I'm thinking that you must have a pretty good success rate reaching out to these veteran students.
Feeling pretty good about what I do. Pretty blessed.
All right. And for our listeners out there, we've just about got a minute left. If we have any veterans that are going to school on campuses out there, have some issues, what would you have to say to them?
Talk to your veteran certifying official. Check your veteran center. Our business cards and posters are everywhere. If you need something, make us work for you. We're here to help.
So you can either start with by calling the VA, Minneapolis VA healthcare system, or call your county veteran service officer and tell them you need some help and they can help you get to the right person, or find Brad Foss because you'll make sure they get to the right person.
Happy to help, sir.
Brad, I hope you have a great career and take care of all those student veterans out there, and appreciate you taking some time to come in to talk to us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for what you do.
Thank you. That was Brad Foss, who leads the Veteran Integration and Academic Leadership, or VITAL, program for the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to meet another of the newest Yellow Ribbon companies here in Minnesota. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet one of the newest Yellow Ribbon companies in Minnesota. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
As the holidays approach, you may find yourself asking what you can do to support Minnesota military members, veterans, and their families. One way that you can show your support is by purchasing a Support Our Troops license plate. These license plates are special because they are a gift that will continue to give year after year. Drive home your support for Minnesota military members, veterans, and their families by purchasing a Support Our Troops license plate for your car or motorcycle. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, together with the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs, will use your annual minimum contribution of $30 for the betterment of military families and homeless and underserved veterans around the state. To purchase these Support Our Troops license plates, visit your local DMV. Drive home your support this holiday season.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. On November 6th of 2019, Anderson Windows and Doors became a Yellow Ribbon company here in Minnesota. And joining us to talk about that is Paul Delahunt, who is president of Renewal by Anderson, which is a division of Anderson Windows and Doors, as I understand it. And Missy Smutney is the human resources director for Renewal by Anderson. And Paul and Missy, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Paul, did I have that correct? It was Anderson Windows and Doors that became the Yellow Ribbon Company.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You know, you may know Anderson Windows and Doors is one of the largest window and door manufacturers in North America. We were founded in 1903. We're headquartered in Bayport, Minnesota. But we've had a long history over that time with the U.S. military. Some interesting stories we could tell you.
We're going to get into that in the next segment, a little bit about World War One and World War II.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll just tease that for now.
Okay.
Now, Paul, I understand that you've been the president of Renewal by Anderson for quite some time.
Yeah, about 12 years now. I've been at Renewal for 15 in total and president for the last 12.
Now, were you personally involved in the effort to become Yellow Ribbon?
I was kind of on the sidelines a bit until Missy drafted me. So Missy has more of a veteran background, military background than I have, but they needed an executive sponsor for the Employee Resource Network for military families, and I thought it was a great group to be involved with, so I said yes right away.
Pretty important. If you don't have that executive sponsor within the company, you're not going to get it done, are you?
Exactly. No, and I think it was my first ask. I started with his team about a year ago, and it was one of the first things I asked him for, and thankfully he said yes.
And right then and there, you knew, this new HR director is going to be all over me.
That's right.
But we won't go there. Missy, I understand you participated in the Army ROTC.
I did at Marquette University.
And then after you were on active duty, you had some tough duty.
I did hardship at Schofield Barracks.
Just
Hawaii.
Had to sacrifice and go to Hawaii.
Yep, someone's got to do it, like Paul said. So.
And I understand you were with Target for quite a while.
I was. So came back home to join the Minnesota Guard and at the same time started working for Target.
And now you're the Human Resources Director for Renewal by Anderson. Are you having a good time doing that?
Absolutely. It's a great team.
And I would guess, and I think I'm right this time, you were part of the folks that worked with Annette Kuiper in order to work through the process of becoming Yellow Ribbon.
I was. A couple of folks from Talent Acquisition, Leanne and Scott, came to me about a year ago, and it was something they were really passionate about. And I said, let's do it. So I jumped on the bandwagon, and we're kind of a get-it-done team. And so we started working with Annette very quickly thereafter, and started working with other companies that were Yellow Ribbon companies, and they helped us become a Yellow Ribbon company.
It's about this time in the interview I usually say something to Annette, like, there's some more people under your influence, Annette. But she was here at the beginning of the Yellow Ribbon programs many, many years ago, and quite a resource and knows how it works. And one of the things, Paul, I want to come to you, I don't know if you've experienced this yet, but there are gatherings of Yellow Ribbon companies in Minnesota. They get together and they trade best practices. And one of the things we've witnessed over the years is this is a small town.
Right.
You go over there and you get with Cargill, you get with Target, you get with U.S. Bank, you get with the rest of them, and you get to have some pretty close friends at those gatherings and trade best practices.
We're really looking forward to that. We do that a lot in our renewal network with our affiliates around the country, sharing ideas and best practices. And that's a great way to really learn and spread the learning quickly. Missy said that when we applied for this, they met with a number of companies like Medtronic and 3M, who really guided us through the whole application process because they'd done it before.
Well, when you get to those gatherings, spend a little extra time because you're going to meet some great people that are committed to this process as well of helping our veterans and helping their families and being Yellow Ribbon. We're speaking with Paul Delahunt and Missy Smutney from Renewal by Anderson on Minnesota Military Radio. Missy, in the process, can you tell us what about the process of becoming Yellow Ribbon? What all did you have to go through and what did you have to commit to in order to become proclaimed as a Yellow Ribbon company?
Sure. So, you know, we started about, like I said, a year ago on this journey, and it really took a comprehensive plan. That's one thing Annette helped us with and these other companies is putting together this plan where we commit to talent acquisition resources, human resources, different things to put this plan together to make sure we could support our veterans and military families. So we put together a pretty large team, steering committee, to pull this plan together. What we found is Anderson was already doing a lot of things that the Yellow Ribbon program requires. So we were ahead of the game and we didn't even know it.
Missy, at Renewal by Anderson, do your employees self-identify as veterans? Do you know how many veterans you have?
It's interesting. We're actually going through the process of being able to do that within our systems, but we know just by getting the word out, this year, we have already 200 people on a distribution list really informally that want to be part of our employee resource network. So we don't have that yet today. That's part of our plan for 2020.
And the fun part about that is, even though another employee is a veteran, it takes you about 2 seconds to make common cause with them and be friends right away.
It's a great way to connect with people. Everyone has a story, and that's what I love about it, whether it's you're part of a family that supports veterans or someone else in your family served. It's a really great way to connect with people.
And Missy, one of the commitments you have to make is to hire, retain, and support employees who serve in the Guard and Reserves. I would imagine for you that's just kind of fun.
It's music to my ears, right? Yes, absolutely. We just hired a Navy veteran on my team, actually. It's someone...
Sean.
Yeah, Sean, yeah. I connected with months ago, and we've just been slowly getting to know each other, and he just retired October 31st and joined our team a couple weeks later.
Paul, I'm sure you've had to endure some war stories from Missy about her time in Hawaii, but most of the veterans that you hire, and I'm sure you've talked to quite a few, pretty easy to put in a hard day's work when nobody's shooting at you.
Yeah, right. What we do is a lot easier than what they've done, but the experience that they bring can be very valuable, and we find these people are very motivated, very driven, but very team-oriented, which is really important to us, right? It's all about the mission and accomplishing it as a team. It's not just one person.
What they really want to know is, what would you like to have me do, in what time period, and how are you going to judge whether I did a good job or not? And if they understand that, pretty easy to get the job done.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And they always go above and beyond. Always.
Well, of course, at Renewal by Anderson, all of your employees go above and beyond.
That's true, but we love it across Anderson, right?
What other kind of things did you have to commit to become a Yellow Ribbon?
So one of the things when you mentioned about recruiting and hiring is probably an easier way to do that for our veterans, to know that we are not just military friendly, we're really pro-military and advocates for military. So we are creating better ways to pipeline military talent into our company. So that's through a dedicated career site for veterans so they can come to Anderson in a much easier way than we have today. We're creating job postings that speak to veterans of all backgrounds and tenure, and getting them into the Anderson system in a way that folks at Anderson can understand their resumes and their backgrounds. So it's not always easy to translate a military resume. We want to make it easy for our veterans to still get into Anderson in a way that makes sense for them.
So you can communicate
our hiring
what
managers.
They've learned in the military.
Absolutely.
In language that Paul's going to understand.
Absolutely, because it's not easy.
You can't just say, I was a tanker. I mean, you have to say, okay, what did you learn? Did you drive it? Did you maintain it? What kind of hydraulics did you maintain? If we put that in English, then the employer has an easier time saying, here's a good spot for that experience.
Right.
Paul, I'm sure this is all kind of fun. Are you hiring?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've got a number of veterans across our company. I think Missy said over across Anderson, at least 200 that have kind of self-identified already. But we have them in a variety of roles. We have them in logistics. We have them in operations. We have people in sales, HR. She just hired Sean on her HR team. So a wide variety of things that folks can do depending on their background and experience.
So you have some openings and you're looking for some good people.
Absolutely.
Always.
All right. Well, we hope that some of our listeners, if they're looking for jobs or they know some veterans that want them, they can go to Renewal by Anderson and get a hold of Missy and find a great job. Paul and Missy, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the long history of Anderson Windows and Doors, back to World War I, World War II, and a little more about Renewal by Anderson. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting today with Paul Delahunt, who is the president of Renewal by Anderson, and Missy Smutney, who is the human resources director for Renewal by Anderson. And Renewal by Anderson is a division or a portion of Anderson Windows and Doors. And Paul, we kind of alluded in the first segment to the fact that Anderson Windows has been supporting the military all the way back to World War I.
Exactly. Yeah. The company was founded in 1903, but during World War I, we actually suspended our normal business operations to produce more than 200,000 windows for barracks and other military buildings that were requested by the government during that time. We also made target frames that were used in gunnery practice during World War I.
That goes back a long time.
That goes back a long time.
I can't even remember that far back, Paul. And then during World War II, they stepped up again.
Yes. We actually redesigned our famous double-hung window. It was called the narrow line. And we eliminated 97% of the critical to military operations materials for the war effort. And it was called the victory window that we launched. And we also made wooden ammunition boxes on our wood window production lines. So we converted that as well.
Well, I think a lot of the young people today don't know that in World War II, we were saving all the materials we could to build planes and tanks and military equipment. There was rationing, gas, and all kinds of things for you guys to cut back and then make the ammo boxes to get that ammo over to our troops so they could win the war. That's pretty important.
Yeah, it's a really important part of our history. It's just kind of one of the things I didn't know until you kind of talk to some of the older folks at the company and they know the history that goes back that far. It's pretty cool.
Well, that must have made it pretty easy to step up and be the executive sponsor for the effort to become a Yellow Ribbon company here in Minnesota.
Yeah, it really seemed like a natural for our company, and I'm very proud to be associated with this group. And I think we're just getting started at our company. We're Yellow Ribbon, but that's just kind of really the beginning of all the efforts and things we're going to do to make an impact in this area.
Now, Missy, you shared with us in the first segment that a lot of the things that are kind of required to become Yellow Ribbon, Renewal by Anderson and Anderson Windows and Doors were doing. Have things changed at all since you were proclaimed? It just happened, but is there a renewed commitment now to support the troops and the families and hire veterans?
Yeah, as an example, I think there's more a sharing of talent that we're talking about that wouldn't have happened before, I think. So different leaders find a veteran talent, someone who's currently serving, and they may not be a great fit for their department, but they're going the extra effort to find them a good fit at Anderson, if not for their team, another team. Because we want that talent in our company.
So you're taking a hard look at their bio and their experience and what they did in the military and where can they fit in best with your company?
Absolutely.
Now, Paul, I got to ask you this question. When you catch some of these veterans that just got off active duty and they come in and they join Renewal, are you telling them, go back and get your other guys that got out and bring them over here too?
Yeah, we love referrals. So, if you have someone who has a good friend or understands the kind of people we're looking for, absolutely. Say, bring your referrals. Tell us who people you served with and let us talk to them as well.
Bring them in. We need them. And
yeah.
Missy, you've been at the company for about a year?
At Renewal, and I've been with Anderson about 3.5 years.
Okay. And mm-hmm. Is that a good company to work for?
It's a great company. It's all in, all together. We are very committed team, and it's a great Minnesota company. But the great thing about being a Yellow Ribbon company in Minnesota is now we're going to take our comprehensive plan, and we have manufacturing plants and retail locations across the country. So our entire company is going to benefit from us becoming a Yellow Ribbon company in Minnesota.
And Paul, here in Minnesota, for some of our listeners may not know, how many facilities do you have around the state?
Around the state, Anderson's got two primary ones, Bayport, which is the original manufacturing facility, and corporate headquarters in Oak Park Heights, and then Renewal is down in Cottage Grove. So three main ones in Minnesota, but then 15 manufacturing plants, 8 distribution facilities, and 10 retail locations across the country with Renewal. All over the country.
Mm-hmm. And Missy, what kind of openings do you have? What kind of people are you looking for besides veterans?
We're looking for leaders, really at any level. It doesn't mean that you are going into a leadership role, but we're looking for people that have leadership qualities that can really help us build an inclusive culture at Anderson.
So you're talking about management, safety, manufacturing.
All of the above.
Everything.
All the above.
And you're always, as HR director, you're always looking for people.
Always be recruiting. That's our saying.
All right. For our listeners out there, let's make Missy's job easier. You know, anybody that wants to work for a great Yellow Ribbon company, where would they go to? How do they get to your site to find out the jobs that are open?
AndersonCareers.com.
AndersonCareers.com. Very good, Missy. Hope you do a good job hiring people. And Paul, we've just got about a minute or so left. Any final thoughts to any companies out there who might be thinking about becoming Yellow Ribbon, or thoughts about Renewal by Anderson?
One of the things I wanted to mention was just the philanthropy that we do as a company as well. So it's very important to hire veterans, but also it's important to support organizations that support veterans and their families. And we do a lot of that at Anderson. Like, we partner with Jared Allen's Wounded Homes for Wounded Warriors, contribute windows, contribute labor, and people that volunteer to help build them and give money to them as well. So there's organizations like that where you can also help make a difference.
And, of course, all of this effort is going to make a difference to your customers, a lot of whom are probably veterans themselves.
Exactly.
If they've got some windows that need upgrading or replaced in their homes, and they know that you're helping our veterans and their families, I think that might give you a little edge over some other competition.
And we're seeing it spread across our company, too. We had a sales rep in Capital Region, D.C., who is a vet, and he got involved with an organization there that helps homeless vets. They take over homes, they remodel them, we put in the windows, and then they put the veterans' families in those homes. So it's outside Minnesota, but it's still very important to support vets everywhere.
Those partnerships are great, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, Paul and Missy, I want to thank you both for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio, and I wish you all the best as our newest Yellow Ribbon Company here in Minnesota.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
It was Paul Delahunt, the president of Renewal by Anderson, and Missy Smutney, the human resources director for Renewal by Anderson. Hello, this is Tom Lyons, host of Minnesota Military Radio, and I'd like to take a few minutes to tell you about some changes coming for our show, which is now heard on 58 stations all over Minnesota. As many of you know, I've been the founder and host of this program for nearly 10 years, and we haven't missed one week of new content over all that time. We are pleased to tell you that an upcoming show that will air the first week of January 2020 will be show number 500, which is quite a milestone that we're very proud of, and we're determined to make sure that the show will continue for many years to come. Nearly 10 years ago, I was offered the opportunity to start this military radio program by iHeartMedia, and I stepped in to see what could be done to help our veterans. We established production partnerships with iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and we started this journey. I don't think anyone imagined back then that we would grow it to a network this size with many more partners joining in the production of the show, and I can tell you that it's been an honor for me to be at the center of this for the past decade. Who could have known that we would travel to Kuwait, Norway, Norfolk, Washington, D.C., Camp Ripley, and many other locations to tell our stories, but it has been an ever-evolving path for us. For our loyal listeners, I am sure that you are aware that I served a tour of duty in Cam Ranh Bay, Vietnam, with the United States Air Force, and returned nearly 48 years ago, which means I'm not quite as young as I was then, and I do have some medical issues related to exposure to Agent Orange while I was in country. None of these issues have prevented me from serving as the host of this show or as a board member of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, and I am determined to continue my volunteer efforts for as many years as the Lord allows me to do so. However, I feel that at this time, we must develop a transition plan so that the show can go on in the event I'm forced to take a knee. Lately, I've been getting questions about a couple of guest hosts who have been on the show recently, so I would like to tell you about them. First, Jason Burley has been on the show many times. He's a veteran of the United States Marine Corps and the Minnesota Army National Guard, who retired a few years back as a major and served with the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division. He's very passionate about staying in contact with his military family from the many years he served and has volunteered to be a host of the show in the future. You may also have heard Doug Wortham on the show, as he recently retired as the State Command Sergeant Major for the Minnesota National Guard and has been a guest on the show many times over the last 5 years. He has also volunteered to serve as a host of the show in the future, as he is passionate about continuing to serve as well. I want to assure you that I'm okay and intend to continue hosting Minnesota Military Radio, but it's time to spend a little more time with my wife and family before it's too late. My bride has been by my side for 40 years and has always willingly gone along with my adventures at work, on the radio, and volunteering with the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, but now it's time to start working on her bucket list. Therefore, I'll be stepping back from a few shows in 2020, and Jason and Doug will be co-hosting them so that I can take a little time off and get my wife to warm places with no snow. I will continue to host most of the shows in 2020 and act as the executive producer of the show going forward, but I think it's important to start getting the next generation of hosts ready to tell the important stories of our military in Minnesota, the programs, services, and veterans' homes that the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs provide, the great work our veteran service organizations do, and the wonderful care provided to our veterans at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, and all of the other organizations helping to take care of our veterans and their families. As we move into 2021, you'll see all three of us taking turns hosting the weekly shows and continue our efforts to build the network of stations that carry this show all over the great state of Minnesota. This show is a vital part of my personal desire to continue serving my country, and I will always be grateful to have been a part of it. Hopefully, I can continue to do so for another decade or more. We do not know what the future will bring, and my crystal ball isn't any better than yours. But I do know that these steps are to bring in these two great veterans and help them prepare to host the show are necessary steps to ensure that we can continue to bring these stories to you each and every week. I hope you're as excited about this as I am and that you will welcome them to the program. Once again, I'm fine, but I firmly believe that we need to set things up for a transition plan because, as they say, the show must go on. To all our listeners and supporters, thank you for welcoming me and Minnesota Military Radio into your homes and businesses for the last decade, and rest assured that we will continue to tell these stories and provide information on resources available for our veterans for many years to come. Thank you. We're just about out of time. If you are a Minnesota veteran and would like to share your story, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Brad Foss from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Paul Delahunt and Missy Snutney from Anderson Corp, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week for our annual Commander's Task Force Christmas show to see what our veteran service organizations are up to this year. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.